Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 19th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Look on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. All right, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this will be read by Alexander Scorby. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel unto the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is of the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Okay, let me open up the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue? It's star 601 once we get it going here. All right, if anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a star 601 if you're on a phone, and should be a button there if you're on an Apple browser. Jan, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we have several tonight, John.
Okay.
The first one is, does NLA have an outline viewable or downloadable version of the complete, that's all volumes, of American Jurisprudence, second edition?
You know, I don't have a copy of that. You know, I did get pieces of it, but I've never had a copy of that, so I don't have one. Okay. We'll take a look, see if we can't find one. They don't say anything or suggest that they might have one, do they?
No, it's just they're looking for one.
Looking for one, yeah. It's awfully difficult to find. I did research a little bit on it some years back, and they had all kinds of crazy stuff attached to it. I never really found, I was looking at books actually, physical books. You know, they had information on tax and a lot of stuff that just didn't belong in there. But again, there must be an electronic copy and there must be an original. But I'll take a look, see if I can't find it at some point.
Okay. The second question is a little long. I have mailed an affidavit of fact to or with a 10 business day reply window. Tomorrow marks the 10th business day from the date of the affidavit. My next step is a notice of default with the possibility of a second notice of default with declaration at the top stating final notice. And then obtaining a default judgment, recording it with the county recorder, mailing it certified to the respondent's district attorney's office, and filing a civil suit if remedy is not received. My questions are, is what I have mentioned above advisable, and does NLA have notice of default templates available on the website?
Well, yeah, notice of default is pretty simple. You can even find them if you just run through your search engines. You know, notice of default is a notice of default. You can create one yourself. You can find one also in our course. We might have one under, let's see, Education Starts Here. Come down into Law and then over to Court Forms and Process. Let's see if we have a default. Here's an affidavit of default. Let's see what else we have. That's affidavit of default. Okay, don't have a notice of default. But a notice of default is pretty simple. It basically is just a notice of default. And you'd want to do an affidavit of default also with that. But I'm not sure exactly. Did they say, they said something about 10 days?
Yes.
They served something? Did they say who they served it on? What was the purpose?
No, other than that they were going to record the final notice with the county recorder.
Was it a demand for oath or bond or some other kind of demand for something?
It was just said, I have mailed an affidavit of fault with a 10 business day reply window. It doesn't say what was in it or what type or anything.
Okay, well, 10 days is not enough. You know, it sounds like they've done a notice and demand on somebody. And, you know, it is good to try to do that before you try to go into the court, because you might get something settled. But also, you'll get a default, and you might be able to pursue that default almost immediately in the court. But, you know, it's not too likely, because, again, it depends on who you're going up against and what's going on with that. But a notice of default is as simple as any other notice, and you can make them up yourself. But again, you can search one in the search engine. We might have one. I'm pretty sure we probably do have one in the course. Let me take a quick look over there, too. Okay, there's an affidavit of default motion. Hold, let's go back. You know, you can, no, you can't use that. Let me see what else we have. Okay, again, you can make your own notice up. Basically, it's just something that says a notice of default, and pretty much that's it. But I think an affidavit of default is probably sufficient, and that's probably what you really want to file and do. But you should have followed the process. If they did a, let's see, let me get back to the other page here. Okay, if they did a notice and demand, generally it's 30 days. I mean, 10 days is not sufficient amount of time. So, again, it should have been 30 days to begin with. And then you always give a few days grace, because who knows, something could be caught in the mail. But again, generally speaking, most people, corporations particularly, or if you're going up against the government, a lot of times they'll just ignore it anyway. Then if you do file it in the court, a case as a defendant for whatever the purpose might be, you can try to resurrect that notice of default and try to have it applied within the court. It is a lawful paper, and again, they have the opportunity to respond still. You know, that might be interesting, because you might force them into responding. Sometimes people don't respond. And again, I don't know who he's going up against or who this person's going up against. If it's government or something, the status quo that they want to maintain, a lot of times they just won't answer. They'll try to throw you out of the court. But it could be advantageous, depending on who you're going up against. I don't know if I can give any more information on that. All right, next question.
Okay, that was the only two we have for tonight, John.
Okay. All right, anyway, we do have the Q&A is open for anybody who wants to get into the queue. There's nobody in the queue at the moment. Star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and the app browser should be a button. A couple of weeks ago, I was working on a paper, and I did share it, and I was going to send it out. I haven't sent it out yet. But I've been thinking about this because I wanted to add some more information onto this. And it was an extraordinary presentment to Donald Trump and his cabinet. And it's concerning Article 3, Subsection 2, concerning the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. So we're writing a paper, and we did read this. Like I said, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago we read this paper. But I did add to it, and, you know, if we don't get anybody in the queue soon, maybe we'll read through this. It would be good education. Let me see if I can figure... Oh, yeah, this is where I think I picked up. Okay, I know this is something that I've started up knowing this. You might look at this. But again, I'm looking on potentially sending this out next week sometime. And I'll probably probably read this in full and post it up online and let everybody know where they can find it. We'll probably post it both on YouTube and on Rumble. But I'll wait till I ship it out before I post it. I think it's a pretty powerful paper. The big problem we have, of course, is courts of justice. We just don't have them. They just have taken over the whole court system, of course, and they have total control over it. And that's what this paper is all about. And I was thinking of potentially doing a lawsuit in the federal court against the federal judiciary, which we've done something like this before, but this would be more towards a court case. What we did was we filed some papers concerning some problems with the courts, that they're just not doing the right thing, and they've closed down the courts of justice. But I think we might be able to pursue this court up at least into the appellate court. It'll be very interesting to see what they do on it. And of course, it's up against the Rules Enabling Act, which has totally destroyed our entire court system. Of course, there's a lot of things that they've been doing over the years. Law is constructive. They started this quite some time ago. Everything seems to be built upon the Organic Act of 1871 when they incorporated the United States. Now, I was thinking of doing a quo vanto, not a quo vanto. Yeah, I think a quo vanto. That's what we may do, is a quo vanto. I know they shut down a lot of writs, but I don't think that they shut down the quo vanto. And so they have to respond to the question. And it'll be up against the federal judiciary, and who knows, maybe we can try to get it up into the Supreme Court. It is a subject matter that they don't want to address and they don't want to look at. Hopefully we'll get Trump's attention. You know, the legislators is not going to fix this problem. And the courts are not going to fix this problem. Our only hope is Trump's administration. Because they are to guarantee us a Republican form of government. And if we don't have a court of justice, obviously we don't have a Republican form of government. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to push on the Trump's administration. And again, we may read this tonight, but let me see if there's anybody in the queue first. All right, nobody in the queue. So if anybody wants to get into the queue, again, star 6 and a 1, or if anybody else on the leadership has a question or a comment or something to discuss, we could do that. But I'll start reading some of this paper. I think it's I've been working on this for quite a while now. And again, I'm using a lot of the language we had read already. I'm picking up here on page 4, and I know there's a couple other pages. I might have moved them, rearranged a couple of pages, so I may be rereading some of that again. But again, let me see if I can do a breeze through first before. Okay, this is an extraordinary presentment to Donald J. Trump and Cabinet concerning, as I mentioned, Article 3, Section 2, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. And the key focus, of course, is on the law. But even on the equity, because, you know, when they abrogated the rules of common law, the rules of common law also applied upon equity. Of course, once they removed the process to be able to take in the rules of common law to apply on anything, and again, the rules of common law ultimately is a focus on justice and common sense. It's pretty much that simple. Common sense is really what common law is. And I got to try to focus in on calling this natural law, because they seem to really think that common law has something to do with trial court decisions. And again, nothing could be further from the truth. But I've done some little more investigation on the bar and their position, their thinking, and, you know, what is their thought process. And I think I picked up on a lot of that in this particular paper, because they are really way, way, way off base on what they've been taught in school, in bar, in any kind of a bar school. So anyway, let's roll through this, and we'll start reading some of this, and we'll see if we get someone in the queue shortly. But I'm just picking up in the middle, and I'm picking up with a focus on illusionary truth derangement syndrome. There is such a thing as an illusory truth phenomenon syndrome effect, and it is a tendency to believe false information to be correct after repeated exposure. This phenomenon was first identified in 1977 study at Villanova University and Temple University. When truth is assessed, people rely on whether the information is in line with their understanding or if it feels familiar. And there is a problem, because people have been taught the system that we're under right now for a long, long time. And, of course, the bar attorneys have been taught this. And we're going to look to see a little bit about some of the things that they've been taught, how our nation was brought together and how they perceive or claim the law is. Of course, the whole thing's a lie. And the people who put this together, of course, understood what they were doing. And it was subversion. So the first condition is logical, as people compare new information with what they already know to be true. Repetition makes statements easier to process relative to new, unrepeated statements, leading people to believe that the repeated conclusion is more truthful. The illusory truth effect has also been linked to hindsight bias, in which the recollection of confidence is skewed after the truth has been received. In a 2015 study, researchers discovered that familiarity can overpower rationality, and repetitively hearing that a certain statement is wrong can paradoxically cause it to feel right. Researchers observed the illusory truth effects impact even on participants who knew the correct answer to begin with, but were persuaded to believe otherwise through the repetition of a falsehood to processing fluency. In cognitive psychology, processing fluency is the ease with which information is processed by the brain. It is commonly treated as a syndrome for cognitive fluency, a term used to describe the subjective experience of ease or difficulty associated with mental tasks. Processing fluency influences a range of judgments and decisions, including perceptions of truth, attractiveness, familiarity, and confidence. So this is interesting that I had fell upon this when I was doing some research, trying to gather some information, and then looking into what the bar is actually teaching these people, and it is indeed subversion. But it's amazing, the entire nation is really living on fake law. That's exactly what we're living under, fake law. But let's read on. Unfortunately, lawyers and judges, via their education, which teaches civil law and not natural law, and thereby suffer from illusory truth derangement syndrome, which also applies to people who believe fake news and what judges and lawyers tell them concerning the fake law. Whereas about half of President Trump's cabinets are lawyers, in the 119th United States Congress, as of January 2026, overall, 184 members of the total Congress, that's House and Senate, have law degrees, making the legal profession the most represented professional background. And all court officers who control our courts are bar lawyers, as they shut out any lawyer that is not a bar taught. We find it almost impossible to talk to these bar-educated people because they are so programmed in the lie they fail to see the truth and label anyone who tries to correct them conspiracy theorists. While the only cure is to listen and reconsider the truth found in history. We the people ordained and established the powers and authorities of all three branches of government. The legislative branch has no lawful authority to create new powers for the judiciary. Said powers abrogated natural law, claiming that rigid application of common law rules brought about injustice, thereby claiming that legislators are more righteous than God. As they ignore said rules, shall neither abridge, enlarge, nor modify the substantive rights, while they abrogate God from our courts and the natural law writs of the sovereign people, deny due process for anyone who challenges the status quo, and claim to make rules with the power of law, when they said all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force or effect after their rules' promulgation. You know, I was looking at some commentary on this kind of a conclusion, and they kept playing around while they were talking about the rules. But it doesn't say exactly what it is. It says here very clearly, I mean, if we take it for word value, all laws that are in conflict with what? With their rules shall be of no further force or effect after their rules are promulgation. After their promulgation. The 1934 Rules Enabling Act was the final act that destroyed the law of the land, thinking that they have the power to change the times and the laws. Daniel 7:25. Let me just step back and reread that a little bit. They have the power, they think that they have the power to change the times and the laws of this Christian nation. Either Jesus Christ is king of our court, or man is. As Samuel Adams said, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will of legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. Even equity, also known as legislative or positive law, was governed by the rules of natural law. But now, through the Rules Enabling Act, legislators and the judiciary govern the people by the whims of men and not the justice of God. And this is the act, I inserted the act in here, so we'll read that. An act, and I put in here it's a repugnant act. It's the 73rd Congress, Session 2, and this was June of 1934, which gives to the Supreme Court of the United States authority to make and publish rules in actions at law. Now, this is a very powerful thing, and they created a new power because what they're doing is they're abrogating the laws of common law, or the laws of natural law, shall I say, that had been around for as long as going all the way back into the beginning, you know, when we were even colonies. And, of course, it even goes back a lot further than that. So that they're changing our law completely, and that's exactly what they did. So to give the Supreme Court of the United States authority to make and publish rules in actions at law. Now, actions at law is actually common law courts. That's what that phrase is, actions at law. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that the Supreme of the United States, that should probably be, say, the Supreme Court. I got this, let me see. That the Supreme should have been court. Let me put that in there. That the Supreme Court of the United States shall have the power to prescribe by rules in civil actions at law, general rules for the district courts of the United States and for the courts of the District of Columbia, the forms of process, writs, pleadings, and motions, and the practice and procedure in civil actions at law. And this, of course, has really went all the way down to the states, too. So all the states have followed suit with what they've done here. And, of course, there is no courts of justice there. They're all gone. We only have civil law courts, which are chancery courts. Set rules. Now, here in here it said, set rules shall neither abridge, enlarge, nor modify the substantive rights of any litigant. Now, a substantive right. We have the unalienable right to have access to courts of justice, and that's a substantive right. Now, it said right here very clearly in what Congress wrote, said rule shall neither abridge, enlarge, nor modify the substantive rights of any litigant. So right there, of course, they never should even have been able to write the rules. But anyway, they shall take effect 6 months after the promulgation, and thereafter all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force or effect. Again, this was giving the United States Supreme Court the power and the authority to write rules with the power of law. And they do apply the rules as law. When anybody has been in the courts, they know that quite quickly. Let me see now where we're at. Section 2, the court may at any time unite the general rules prescribed by it for cases in equity with those in actions at law so as to secure one form of civil action and procedure for both. Provided, however, that in such a union of rules, the right of trial by jury as at common law or natural law and declared by the declared by the Seventh Amendment to the Constitution shall be preserved to the parties inviolate. Such united rules shall not take effect until they shall have been reported to Congress by the Attorney General at the beginning of a regular session thereof and until after the close of such session. All right, and so what they did, of course, Rule 2 abrogated the law of the land. It combined equity with law. Equity, again, is what we call positive law. Or you can call it legislative law. And again, being positive law identifies with laws of justice, just laws. So therefore, they have to be obedient to the rules of common law. But again, that's what they abrogated. They abrogated the rules of common law. They abrogated the courts of law, which is natural law. And actually, they even abrogated equity because they combined it all and called it civil law. So it's a whole new process altogether, civil law, because that applies to every person, where equity only applies to individuals who are working for a government agency or working commercial activities, interstate commercial activities, particularly on the federal level. Anyway, let's pick up here. Man-made rules are not law. They are just rules with no authority. As the federal judiciary states on their website that they group together suits in equity and suits in common law under the term civil law, also known as Babylonian law. We the people, via the Constitution, ordained only law and equity under Article 3, Section 1 and Section 2, both to be governed by the rules of natural law. The judiciary and the Congress are not sovereign. We the people are sovereign, whereas they have power and authority that we ordained and established. And Amendment 10 clearly stated, the powers not delegated to the United States of the Constitution, nor forbidden by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Not that the power in question is lawful. Let me put in question. Let me see. Yeah, I think that would be in question. Yeah, is lawful. At the end of the day, the judiciary is to uphold justice and not law. For justice is the law of nature's God and will always be established by his rules. Okay, so they created a new power. They just made it up. Congress made up a new power. And they empowered the federal judiciary to make up rules with the power of law, and that any law that is contrary to their rules is null and void. That's a lot of power. First of all, that power can't be given. Even we, the people, can't even give Congress that power because we don't have the power to change God's laws. And part of God's law is, of course, again, equity. Equity also is part of God's laws because equity, again, which is legislative law, also referred to as positive law, is for the purpose to control governments. And so it falls right under the line, definitely anyway, under the laws of nature and of nature's God, as far as the rules are concerned. Okay, so the Tenth Amendment in itself prevents any new powers. Not that this power can be any power, but nevertheless, it's still another violation. It's a created power, and one branch of government empowered another branch of government, again, in both cases, violating the Tenth Amendment also. Bar schools teach in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2385, 18 U.S.C. subsection 241, 18 U.S.C. subsection 242, 18 U.S.C. subsection 1001, also subsection 2881, subsection 2384, and subsection 1346, that the United States developed its own unique system of law based on a written constitution while keeping many elements of the English approach, especially judge-made law, through court's decision that they claim is natural law. Now, this is what I just recently discovered in some research that I was looking. They're making a claim here that common law is judge-made law through court decisions going back into England, going back into the time when common law was or natural law was actually applied in our courts. And that's what they're saying here. This is their claim. They also claim and teach that Roman law plays a role in American law, and through the Repugnant Rules Enabling Act, federal statutes are applied upon we the people. They claim that our founding fathers, like Thomas Jefferson, studied Roman law, and that many core Western legal ideas, fair contracts, property rights, rules of law, trace back to Rome. This is all just total lies, making its legacy enduring even in the Anglo-American tradition. They claim that the Declaration of Independence is not binding legal statute like the Constitution, and therefore the laws of nature and of nature's God plays only a philosophical role in American law. And again, this is not my perception of what they're thinking. This is actually what they are teaching, or what they teach in law school concerning law. So they claim that the Declaration of Independence is not binding legal statute like the Constitution, and therefore the laws of nature and of nature's God plays only a philosophical role in American law. They further claim that our founding fathers were highly educated in classical history and deliberately drew from Republic Rome back in 509 to 27 BC as a model for creating a stable, non-monarchical republic. They saw America as a modern successor to Roman liberty and virtue, while consciously improving on Rome's flaws to avoid its eventual collapse into empire and dictatorship. Whereas there were several past governments other than the Roman Republic that divided power into three branches, such as the Kingdom of England in the 17th century and earlier ancient Israel. The U.S. Supreme Court, in writing the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure without authority, abolished several common law writs available to the sovereign. These changed eliminated common law forms of relief from judgment or other remedies. Under Federal Rules of Civil Procedure or Criminal Procedure, I think this is Criminal Procedure, Rule 81, it's probably in both of them, but I think what I'm quoting here is Civil Procedure. The writs of Seri Facius, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, let's see this.
Seri Facius.
And mandamus are abolished in federal civil proceedings. Yes, so this is Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. So what they're saying, you can't even do a mandamus in a civil court. Now, we've done mandamuses, and we've done mandamuses on a federal level, and we've done mandamuses on the state level. I only got feedback on that once, a case maybe about 6 months ago. I got some feedback from the judge who said that those writs have been done away with. We don't have those. You don't have those sovereign right writs anymore because they've done away with the sovereign's right to writs, and that's what the power is all about. So they abolished it in the federal civil proceedings. Under Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 60E, the following are abolished: bills of review, writs of quorum nobis, writs of quorum voipus, and writs of, not sure how to pronounce this one either, let's see.
Audita.
Audia, audita.
Corolla.
Corolla. All right. Anyway, I do know that these two writs, particularly this writ and writ of quorum nobis, are writs of the sovereign. Okay. I'm not too sure. I've never looked into the other one that we just read there. Okay. Clearly, bar schools were determined to eliminate natural law and our justice courts, replacing them with civil law and chancery courts. We are a Christian nation fashioned under Israel, not Rome. Man's law without natural laws, counsel being the rules of natural law, will always maintain the elite's status quo. Only the truth can set the people free. Let me repeat that. Man's law without natural laws, without natural law's counsel being the rules of natural law, will always maintain the elite status quo. Only the truth can set the people free. So, of course, that is one of the reasons why they got rid of the common laws, because it exposed their dirty deeds. The assault upon American courts began around 1750, when we were still colonies, and the King of Britain felt he was losing control of the colonies through our well-established natural law courts, because the people would not indict on behalf of the king. Therefore, he sent swarms of barristers to change our natural law courts to chancery courts, as they had already done in Britain. In 1776, the foundation of America's law was established via the Declaration of Independence, which was a covenant with God, in that we desired to be under his laws and thereby receive his blessings. We, the people, therefore codified his laws in the Constitution's preamble, when we said, in order to form a more perfect union, secure the blessings of liberty, history has proven time after time that man's law is incapable of securing the blessings of God's liberty, given liberty, because God's law resists the agenda of the ungodly. Therefore, the Lord said in 1 Corinthians 6:1-2, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the just. Do ye not know that the just shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, of course, God is really saying here is that we're not to go to man's law, we're to go to God's law. And as long as we were under the rules of common law and under the laws of nature and of nature's God, then we had a just court, and people would judge from their hearts, and also with common sense. And again, that is exactly what common law is, considering all things, considering justice through the heart. Everybody knows what a wrongdoing has been done, and using common sense to apply the facts upon, and using common sense to apply those facts upon. Thomas Jefferson rediscovered a unique type of republic, one ruled by nature's God and not man, mirrored under Israel, that was established by God through Moses in 1400 B.C. This was clearly illustrated by Jefferson and Franklin's proposed seals that expressed Israel's exodus out of Egypt. One of them, of course, we've talked about this quite a few times in the past, but anyway, one of the seals that were proposed was with Moses holding up his rod and parting the Red Sea in order for Israel to pass through the Red Sea, and of course the Red Sea drowned all of the Egyptians that followed behind. And the other seal that was proposed was the burning column that separated Israel from the Egyptians so that they could not advance towards them. And so that clearly tells us that we are fashioned unto Israel. They were fashioned in a godly fashion. So Jefferson added on the backside of the seal, representing Israel's common law brought to Britain in the 5th century by two Anglo-Saxons named Hengist and Hosea, from the Germanic tribe from the north. Jefferson immediately recognized that they... Let me move this over. Okay, Jefferson immediately recognized that the law they brought to Britain was in harmony with the Bible. History revealed that the people of Britain, having the Bible, developed a strong bond with the Anglo-Saxons because they were living the principles of the Bible. Unfortunately, the committee, that's the committee who was to make the decision on the seals, the committee set aside the proposed seals, and at a later date, a two-sided seal in the United States was represented by Rome, which is the eagle, and Egypt, which is the pyramid, both of whose laws trace back to Babylon, the exact opposite of Israel. I think that's pronounced Aquileia.
Aquila.
Aquila. Okay, and Aquila, classical Latin, literally eagle, was a prominent symbol used in ancient Rome, especially as a standard of Rome's legion. A legionary known as an aquilifer, let me check that out.
Aquilifer.
Aquilifer, the eagle bearer, carried the standard. Each legion carried one eagle. It represented the eagle of Jove, being Jove, the father of a Roman state in the 30 BC. Egypt became a province of Rome and thereby came under Roman law. Roman law was founded under Justinian law, which was relabeled Babylonian law, which is in conflict with the laws of nature's God. The rejection of the Jefferson and Franklin proposed seals and the replacing it with the Roman seals is evidence of the barristers already among us working to change the law that America was founded upon. Okay, so this, you know, as we read through all this stuff, and I was just recently finding a lot of these different details, they have really worked over time to make the claim that we are under Roman law, which takes us back to civil law, which again brings us right to Babylonian law. Thomas Jefferson said, at the establishment of our Constitution, the judiciary bodies were supposed to be the most helpless and harmless members of the government. Experience, however, soon showed in what way they were to become the most dangerous. A judiciary independent of a king or executive alone is a good thing, but independence of the will of a nation is a mistake, at least in a republican government. The seat of dissolution of our federal government is in the Constitution of the federal judiciary, an irresponsible body, for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction until all shall be usurped. And that's where we are today. The candid citizen must confess that if the policy of the government upon the vital question affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions by the Supreme Court, the instant they are made or in ordinary litigation between parties and personal actions, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of that imminent tribunal. Our founding fathers created one nation under God. There was never any intent to separate God from government. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that the great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of our faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Patrick Henry. The religion which introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles, which enjoin humility, piety, and benevolence, which acknowledges in every person a brother or a sister and a citizen with equal rights. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. Noah Webster, Father of American Scholarship and Education. Congress and President George Washington in 1789 passed the United States Annotated Code, Article 3. This comma should have been here. Article 3, which states, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. You know, they couldn't require the Bible to be put into schools, but it's encouraged to be put in schools. And they pretty much had it over 200 years. It was in 1963 when the Bible was removed. The brief exposition of the Constitution of the United States will unfold to young persons the principles of republican government, and it is in sincere desire of the writer that our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion. Noah Webster, Father of American Scholarship and Education. In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and the privileges of a free people. Again, Noah Webster, Father of American Scholarship and Education. The Christian religion is a religion of all others most friendly to liberty, science, and the freest expansion of the human mind, Thomas Jefferson. The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all of our civil constitutions and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Again, Noah Webster on that one. It is the duty of every man to render to the Creator such homage. Before any man can be considered as a member of a civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe, James Madison. We have stacked the whole future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, far from it. We have stacked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves, according to the Ten Commandments of God. James Madison. "'Tis so substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government." George Washington. When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public offices, let it be impressed on your mind that the preservation of a republican God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. Government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. Noah Webster, Father of American Scholarship and Education. I do see we have some people in the queue. We'll be getting to the queue shortly. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button there if you're on an app or browser. Natural law is our heritage. Liberty is our inheritance. We the people have been lulled asleep. We have been robbed by U.S. Supreme Court barristers as they covertly sold our birthright to the devil. In the case of Ingle versus Vitale, Stephen I. Ingle was the lead plaintiff. He was a Jewish parent who, with four other parents representing a diverse group, including Jewish, atheist, Unitarian, and ethical culture members, objected to the state-composed non-denominational prayer recited daily in public schools. Engel later became a founding member of the Nassau chapter of New York Civil Liberties Union and passed away in 2008 at age 85. The case did not directly address to remove the Bible reading from public schools. However, it set a strong precedent that school-sponsored religion activities are unconstitutional. In the case of Abington School District versus Shrimp, 1963, same year as the other case, the court building directly on Engel versus Vitale ruled that devotional Bible reading and prayer were also unconstitutional under the Establishment Clause, whereas the prayer in question was the Lord's Prayer. Although these cases rested upon Amendment 1, they actually violated Amendment 1, which clearly states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or forbidding the free exercise thereof. Therefore, the U.S. Supreme Court legislated law from the bench by forbidding the free exercise clause. The idea of establishing a religion referred to an institution, namely denominations. It was never meant to remove God's guidance through the laws of nature's God and his natural law rules. So we ask, how can we be under the laws of nature's God, his unalienable rights, and how can Jesus Christ be the king of our courts if our children do not know who he is, his law, his blessings of unalienable rights upon us, and his moral teachings? Our law requires the teaching of Jesus be found, Our law requires the teaching of Jesus. We find this in the Declaration of Independence, where we covenant with God to be under his laws and thereby receive his blessings. We find this in the preamble of the Constitution, where we read that the government is to secure the blessings of liberty, and Amendment 1. America's roots are in the Bible. Our founding fathers discovered that there are three vital powers of government via the principles enunciated in the Bible centuries ago. In Isaiah 33:22, the Bible states, "For Jehovah is our judge, Jehovah is our lawgiver, Jehovah is our king. He will save us." This text, written 700 years before Christ, clearly identifies the three essential functions of a fully operational government, namely the judicial, legislative, and the executive, governed by the rules of natural law. As our Constitution would later reiterate, God set forth the need for lawmaking, law enforcement or execution, and law interpreting. Isaiah's prophecy and divine guidance that was followed by our founding fathers, they implemented in the founding documents of our nation profound yet simple principles laid out by God in the Bible. Our founding fathers were extremely Bible literate. They knew and appreciated the great value of the Bible, and this is reflected over and over in their works. It is reflected in the natural law, which they inherited, and in the vast array of both criminal and civil laws, which they furthered and made possible. Many of these we take for granted today, not even realizing their divine sources. Nations that follow God's ways advance and succeed, and nations which depart from God's way fail, sometimes after much misery. U.S. citizens should be thankful that we live in a nation founded upon godly principles. May we ever appreciate and strive to prolong such freedoms and blessings, which are ours only by the grace of God. And may we always give glory and honor to God, whose wisdom inspired every good and successful work. The story of America's founding begins long before 1776. It began in 1620, when a small band of pilgrims sailed across the Atlantic seeking freedom to worship God. Their very first political document, written aboard the Mayflower, reveals the Christian covenantal foundation that would shape the nation. Before setting foot on shore, the pilgrims bound themselves together under God. Their agreement was not for personal gain or political power, but for God's glory and the advancement of the Christian faith. In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our King and country of a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. The compact ends with these solemn words, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combined ourselves together into a civil body politic. Mayflower Compact, 1620. This was the first governing document in America, and it was framed as a covenant before God. Civil society itself was viewed as sacred, bound together under divine accountability. The language of the covenant in the compact mirrors the scriptures, especially the covenant that God made with his people in the Old Testament, Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. Like Israel at Sinai, the pilgrims recognized that their survival and blessings depended on the obedience to God and unity under his law. The Mayflower Compact was not an isolated act. Early colonial characters and later state constitution carried the same Christian assumptions. For example, for as much as it hath pleased the Almighty God by the wise disposition of his divine providence, so to order and dispose of things that we, the inhabitants, do therefore associate and conjoin ourselves to be of one public state or commonwealth. Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, 1639. This document often called the first written constitution, began by acknowledging God's providence as the foundation of political order. What we see in these early documents is this distinct Christian pattern. God is acknowledged as Almighty. Civil government is viewed as a covenant under him. The purpose of society is tied to his glory and the flourishing of the church. This is why Deuteronomy became so influential to later generations. Just as Moses reminded Israel of their covenant responsibilities before entering the Promised Land, America's founders looked to the covenant models when framing their laws. Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenants and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. When the Continental Congress declared independence on July 4, 1776, the document they signed was more than political. Its language reflected a deeply theistic worldview. The following statements rest on biblical foundations. Rights not granted by the government, but endowed by God himself, echoing Genesis 1:27, where man is created in God's image. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Declaration of Independence, 1776. The Declaration closes with a solemn appeal to divine authority. We, therefore, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for a rectitude of our intentions, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Here we see three key affirmations. One, God as creator of all people. God as judge of human actions. God as providential protector of nations. This was not secular neutrality. It was a covenantal appeal to God as the source of justice, rights, and natural survival. There were 56 signers of the Declaration. Nearly all were publicly affiliated with Christian denominations. While some held differing views of theology, their personal writings, public confessions, and church membership reveal a culture deeply grounded in the Christian faith. One signer, Reverend John Witherspoon of New Jersey, was not only a statesman but a Presbyterian minister and president of the College of New Jersey, Princeton. He preached regularly and taught young men to serve both God, both church and state. God is the best friend to American liberty, who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion. John Witherspoon, Sermon 1776. Others, such as Samuel Adams, were outspoken in their devotions. "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient." Of course, God is the sovereign. "He reigns in heaven," Samuel Adams, when signing the Declaration. While modern critics often label some founders as deist, the overwhelming record shows a reliance on the God of Scriptures in both private and public expressions. The structure of the Declaration itself echoes covenantal themes found in Deuteronomy: a preamble identifying God and His authority, a statement of principles, unalienable rights, a list of grievances against the king, similar to covenant curses, a covenantal pledge of unity under God. The use of covenantal language reflects the biblical worldview of the time. The founders believed that, like Israel, their new nation should stood accountable to God. Isaiah 33:22, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." This verse, often cited in founding era sermons, mirrors the structure of the government the founders would soon establish: judiciary, legislative, and executive, all under the lordship of God. The Declaration was not alone. Early state constitution carried Christian requirements for office holders. Delaware Constitution of 1776 required officials to affirm, "I do profess faith in God and Father, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore, and I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration." Delaware Constitution, 1776. Massachusetts Constitution in 1780 required public support for the Protestant teachers and worship as part of the civil duty. Pennsylvania's 1776 Constitution required belief in both the Old and the New Testament as divine revelation. These examples show that the new nation did not conceive of freedom as separation from God, but freedom under God. The Declaration of Independence was not a secular manifesto. It was a covenant document rooted in scriptures and written by men whose worldview was shaped by the Bible. They appealed to God's creation, God's laws, God's judgment, and God's providence. Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." In 1787, the Constitution was drafted to provide a framework of government. While the document itself does not repeat the Declaration's open appeal to God, its very design assumes a moral and a religious people. John Adams explained it plainly: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." John Adams, in a letter to the Massachusetts Militia, 1798. And that's why, you know, America, because of our background, that's why America has always been... focused on love, ultimately. I mean, we have compassion for people. We have empathy. Some nations are so far away from it. I mean, take the problem, I don't want to mention the name, but the problem nation that we're having a problem with right here in our own country, in one and probably many other states, but in one of our states particularly, okay, I mean, they're built upon fraud and hatred and anger, no respect for life. And so, you know, our government really is very special in the sense that we are one nation under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all. In that, you know, again, we have compassion, we have empathy. Okay, anyway, the founders understood that liberty cannot exist apart from virtue, and virtue cannot endure apart from religion. The Constitution was not written for an atheistic or pagan culture, but for a people grounded in biblical morality. The separation of powers into legislative, executive, and judicial branches reflects Isaiah 33:22. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save." So judge, judicial branch, lawgiver, legislative branch, king, executive branch. This verse was cited in founding era sermons and writings. The structure of government was drawn from scriptures portrayed by God, portrayal of God of the ultimate source of justice, law, and authority. The founders had a realistic view of human nature shaped by scriptures' teachings on sin. Jeremiah 17:9 declares, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Because man is fallen, government must be limited with power divided and checked. James Madison wrote in Federal Number 51, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary." This principle of separation and balance is rooted in the biblical doctrine of human depravity. The First Amendment was never designed to exclude Christianity from public life. It was intended to prevent the establishment of a national church while protecting the free exercise of faith. Early Congresses hired chaplains, called for day of prayers and fasting, and printed Bibles for disputing. I can't pronounce that. Why can't I pronounce that? To dispute it. Let me get the proper...
Distribution.
That's it. I'm not seeing the TR. George Washington, in his farewell address, said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. While the federal Constitution banned religious tests for national office, Article 4, many states retained them well into the 19th century. These tests typically required affirmation of belief in God, the Trinity, and the inspiration of scriptures. For example, Delaware Constitution, 1776, "I do profess faith in God and Father, the Father, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration." These provisions reveal that the Constitution was not designed to create a secular state. It assumed a Christian moral foundation. The founders believed that only a people governed by God could govern themselves. Remove religion, and liberty collapses into tyranny. As Patrick Henry declared, "It is when people forget God that tyranny forges their chains." The Constitution's checks and balances and freedoms will all build upon the assumption that America was and must remain a Christian society. Without this moral soil, the framework cannot stand. Now, of course, the states were wrong to be able to require that kind of a confession, and of course, the Constitution made it clear that there can be no test to be in a national office. But it does show the fact and proves the fact that our founding fathers really focused a lot on religion when they built this nation, and that we indeed are a Christian nation. That is the key. And we do have to understand that the governor of the universe is the king of our court. And we turn, of course, to the incarnation. Okay, let's see where we're at here. I think the last thing I read was "Without this moral soil, the framework cannot stand." Psalms 32:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." From 1760 to 1805, political sermons, pamphlets, and debates were saturated with biblical language. Studies of this period show that the Bible was the single most cited source in political writings, surpassing all philosophers combined. The book most often quoted was Deuteronomy, followed by Old Testament books such as Psalms and Exodus. This shows that the founders did not did not see scriptures as separate from public life. They turned to the Word of God to frame laws, debate liberty, and define justice. Deuteronomy is Moses' final address to Israel before they entered the Promised Land. It is a covenantal book calling God's people to obedience, warning of curses for disobedience, and reminding them of the blessings of faithfulness. Deuteronomy 8:6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. The founders saw themselves as standing on the threshold of a new land, just as Israel did. They looked to Deuteronomy as a model for covenant renewal, national morality, and blessings tied obedience. Okay, I'm going to stop here, and we're going to take some questions or comments. Let me just make a mark here so I know where we left off. This is where we want to pick up. And if we don't get back to this tonight, I'll probably finish these last couple of pages next week. I'm going to be working on this paper. I do see that there's some cleaning up I need to do here or there, but I'm going to work on this paper over the next week and hopefully get it out by next Monday or something. And we'll post it up on our website. And I'll probably privately read this so that I can put it up, the whole thing, and put it up onto YouTube and Rumble. Okay, so we'll take some questions right now, and we'll see where we go from there. We have our first caller, a wireless caller. It's 505 area code. You've been unmuted. Can you give us your first name and your state? I think you've been unmuted. Let me see. Well, maybe not. Let's try it again. Okay, you've been unmuted. What's your first name?
My first name is Annette.
Annette?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm calling...
What state are you from?
Oh, I'm calling... Well, I'm from Texas, New Mexico.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm calling. Thank you for all your books and stuff. I'm enjoying the ones that I bought. But I have a very complex problem, and I'm going to need some help soon. I've given the writ mandamus to the sheriff, to several, places.
I missed that. Given the what?
The writ mandamus.
Oh, writ mandamus. Okay.
And all the a lot of the stuff that you all also sent to the courts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent them too as well, and not received any kind of response from them. But I've also given them other notices, and I've done my declaration of status and affidavit of truth and all kinds of stuff, and given them quite a few notices, and they've ignored all of it. But I think that they've conspired against me to take my property and stuff.
On a state level, they perceive you as crazy. On a federal level, some of them perceive you as crazy also, but they know what's going on the federal level. Maybe some state judges too, but generally speaking, they really have no clue. The problem is that all judges are bar-taught, just like any lawyer. They become lawyers first before they become judges. And so they're all bar-taught, and they've been taught the lie. And the lie is that we are built under Rome, and we are not a Christian nation. And of course, they put us under civil law, so it's a major problem. But we all have that, and that's what we're trying to change. I'd like to do a lawsuit, or I'm not sure how I'd do this. A mandamus is a good way to go, of course, but I think a writ quo warranto might be probably the best way for us to go on this. But we need to sue the federal judiciary right up to the United States Supreme Court because they closed the doors of justice. They closed all of our courts. We don't have a court of justice, and they abrogated our law. They abrogated the rules of common law, and so we have a major problem with this. So you're not going to be well received in the courts, I'll tell you that.
Well, I haven't been well received. In fact, I had a court thing last year where I was trying to get somebody off our property that's basically a trespasser. And before it was all over with, I mean, we didn't even get to present all our evidence or anything in court, but he dismissed it and said that he didn't have jurisdiction over our property and then didn't kick off the person that was on our property. But yet, in the meantime,
was it someone from the government that you removed?
Huh?
Was it someone from the government that you tried to have removed from your property, or was
no? It's a person who I guess they consider what do you call them when they go on your land or they stay in your house and
oh, so it's like squatting.
Squatting, yeah. So basically. Yeah, a squatter that is on our property that won't get off, and the judge wouldn't kick him out, and then said he didn't have any jurisdiction. But in the meantime, they throw my cousin in jail, who they say was trespassing, when we have
now,
a trespasser.
Now, let me ask you a question or two before you continue. Is this taking place in Texas?
Well, the reason why the judge said he didn't have any jurisdiction is because when I did my declaration, I also reclaimed my land as Republic of Texas because I've discovered a bunch of stuff and where, you know, there was theft of land and theft of property.
Okay, well, let me just say that you don't have to, or you didn't have to do a declaration. You know, many years ago when I first was trying to figure things out, I was taught the same kind of thing, and I did make a declaration, and I did file it also in a county clerk and so on and so forth, and I've never really used it as any kind of leverage in court or any place, because as I continue to learn, that's not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to give us any more power or authority or clout, and we don't have to do it because we are one of the people, and being one of the people, then you're sovereign. You're one of the sovereign people, and so you have unalienable rights that they must protect. What I would suggest, what court did you go into, by the way?
I went into, I believe it's the 4th Judicial District Court in New Mexico.
Okay, so this is in New Mexico, and it is a court, a state court, which we here in New York call our state courts, Supreme Courts, and then we have the appellate.
The magistrate court, yeah.
Well, but again, what you need to do is go into your constitution and find out a list, because in your constitution they should list courts of record, and you want to go into a court of record to begin with. And the court
our
you went to is probably
constitutional.
Anyway. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Our constitution isn't even constitutional. I mean, you read it, and then, you know, before it's all over with, it's like getting a sucker punch because our own constitution isn't constitutional. It gives all the power to the state.
Well, again, remember, the United States Constitution trumps that constitution. Anything that is repugnant to the United States Constitution is null and void. So you can always go to the U.S. Constitution. But the key, let's go back, though. Now, are you're in jeopardy of losing your property for a foreclosure or something?
Well, okay, so that was one of our properties. My property that I inherited was my cousin. But my property that I inherited from my uncle and that was my grandmother's, and it's been in the family since 1979. I haven't paid the taxes on it because I've been fighting with them about some other issues. Not really fighting as that.
Is it
but
trying
like,
to take it,
the
take
document.
It tax?
Huh?
You're trying to do a tax foreclosure on you then?
Yeah, they're trying to. They gave me 20 days. They put it in the paper and said that they were going to auction my property off on January 29th, and they didn't even they gave me barely 20 days. I haven't been there the whole time. I've been there off and on because I've been helping other friends in like Albuquerque and stuff. And and other places, and so I haven't been home a lot.
Hey,
but I
now,
haven't paid the taxes because,
Has some court made a ruling on this?
No court made a ruling. The state of New Mexico had a title examiner go in there and put a red tag on my door, and then put it in the paper that they're want to auction my house on the 29th of January.
What you need to do is go to federal court and sue them for denial of due process, and require that they cease and desist. Okay, do you know how to do that? Do you know how to go into the courts, how to write papers or anything like that?
Well, I tried to do a lawsuit last year, and I wasn't quite ready for it, but this is a totally different kind of case. But, I'm being denied due process. I don't know how the state can just come in and steal your private, your private real property and, say that it's theirs when our family outright owns it. I don't owe any like loans on it. There's no mortgage. It's outright owned. And, I haven't received a loan on any part of it. And it's not very much per year, but they only have that I haven't paid taxes for the last 2 years. And so then they give me 20 days to come up with the money, and they're asking for $1,700, and I haven't been working. And so I have no money to give them. And I also, in October, I sent a notice of non-consensual payment of income taxes and a declaration of withdrawal of consent to pay federal income taxes, Medicare, Social Security taxes, state income taxes, and property taxes not enumerated specifically in the Constitution. And I sent that to Scott Vincent and the Internal Revenue Service in the state or in the city, and also
the only way you're going to stop this, and you need to move quickly because you said the 29th and it's the 19th, so you got 10 days, you have to file papers in the federal court. And if you can't afford to file papers in the federal court, then you can do it as a poor person. And the thing is you have to show them what income you have coming in that you can't afford to pay for the court costs, because the court costs to go to federal court, last time I went in was $400, but I think they went up a bit on that one, to $435 or something. I think they went up, but you would, as soon as you, if you file papers in the federal court and then serve these individuals that are, coming after you, trying to take your property, then they have to cease and desist as they continue. They can't continue in the process. They now have to deal with this in a courtroom. And you want to do this in the federal courts because it doesn't sound like you're really going to get anywhere in the state. They're doing things probably state approved as far as the courts in the state are concerned. They're permitting this. And as a matter of fact, any tax foreclosure anywhere in the United States ultimately is one without really going through the courts. The whole thing's a facade. They just make it look like they're going through the courts because ultimately the whole thing is a crime. We wrote a paper on this, and you can find that paper probably here under Education Starts Here and under Law, and then come over to Court Forms and Process. That's how you find this page. You should find some information on that here. But moving to federal court, well, you're not moving to federal, you're actually going to federal court because you're going to file it because you're not filed in any court right now. It's just the state coming out trying to seize your property. And that, of course, is a violation of your Fifth Amendment, which they cannot deprive you of your property without due process. Okay.
Right.
So, but they will do it, and they will take it if you don't fight them. Okay.
Yeah, so, and I did get another paper ready for them too, giving them notice.
Yeah, but that's not going to stop them. They don't even think that has power or authority. Lawyers will tell them and tell people, don't worry about it. Because they don't recognize the law, because they don't know about the law like a notice and demands. It's so far from them because they've destroyed our whole judicial process.
Yeah, I know. And right now, too, in the meantime, I'm also asking for oaths of office and...
they're not going to give that either. They're going to ignore you.
Yeah, I know they will, but I'm asking for oaths of office and their insurance and bond information as well.
They're not going to get that either. They're going to ignore you there, too.
Well, I'm going to try, but I've already got all the paperwork together. I just need to mail it. But, yeah, if I need to go in and do...
You can demand that when you file a federal case. Okay, you can subpoena that information, sure.
Okay.
But you have
I'm going to try to request it from them. I already know they're not going to give it to me. But so if I can take it to federal court and get free process, because, I have no money coming in right now at all.
That's what you have to tell the court. I don't know how you're going to prove that. Well, you say you have no money. Were you working or what before and you had...
I had a part-time job, and I don't have it anymore. And
okay, so you do an affidavit on your financial situation. They may ask to look at your bank account, okay?
Be a problem if they would see their...
You could do an affidavit and request to come in as a poor person. There is a process that you should... there's a form for that. You can call you can call the federal court up and they have an office for pro se litigants, and you can request that form, or you can go onto the federal website, the federal judiciary's website, and look for forms and download a form there to file.
I do have a packet already, and I have already I already did the whole free process before, and they approved it. But then that case, I got it dismissed without prejudice
You've already been there, okay? And what you want to do then is work that process out. And if I were you, I'd work very quickly because you only have 10 days. Okay.
I know. They didn't even give me 30 days. Like, I don't see how they can do that.
I don't care. Okay, yeah. They're evil. You know, they may not even know they're evil.
For me, because I call them out on their corruption and all kinds of other stuff. So, they're really going after me right now and trying to take my personal property away from me.
Yeah, they're vindictive, and they're going to get worse unless you do something about it. You've got to get into federal court. Have you ever filed papers before in court? Do you know the process? You have to do a summons and everything?
I don't know how to do all of it, but I do have the paperwork for all of it. Like, I haven't had time. I've been I've been gathering a bunch of evidence and all this other stuff because I have been, we've had long-standing grievances against them for other things, too, that they haven't listened to us on. And and so I've just been really, really busy. And in fact, the last 5 years, I've been doing research and gathering evidence for all the stuff that they've done against me and my family, and, to no avail. And now this is their last thing to try to take away my stand for my property as Republic of Texas. So, so they're really trying to take it away from me. And there is definitely, you can see, there's a conspiracy to deprive me of my property. And, they're all working together. And,
again,
they're always harassing me. So,
The whole system, is evil. Okay? And they're working in this system, and they lie to themselves to begin with, because every once in a while something comes up and they realize what they're doing is evil. But they won't face it. So a lot of people don't even know that they are evil. So the whole process is horrible. But you have to do your pleadings, okay? You have to file the necessary papers. You have to have a summons, Okay, on the top, you have to have, of course, your pleading, okay? And you have to have an affidavit, okay? Those are the three key things, but you have to cover certain things in that affidavit. The cause that you're going into court and going into federal court, is your cause is denial of due process, okay? And also, the fact that they are taking your property without the due process itself. I wouldn't say that you've been denied due process. They're just trying to take your property without due process. That would be the key. So it's a Fifth Amendment case, okay? And so you have to know how to structure the paper. If you know how to structure the paper, you can at least file it. It is a simple case because really, they got to prove that they're giving you due process and they're not giving it to you. So the federal court should rule for it. I don't think you're going to have a big problem for the court to rule status quo because it's not a big deal to the federal level. That's the point I'm trying to make. So, but again, you have to have your summons, you have to have your pleadings, you have to have your affidavit. Those are the three key things. You want to keep it short, but to the point. You want to write things that require them to, answer. So I don't know if you know these things, how it works, how the structure is. We have
I have your books and I'm trying to learn, but I haven't had much time to read lately. My life has just been kind of crazy. I broke my phone. I have no phone right now. I'm using my friend's phone to call in and put you on my computer. So,
I'm going to read this page. You can always go up to YouTube or to Rumble and re-listen to this section again because you won't be able to write it as quick as I'm going to say it. But basically, This is what you need. This is the anatomy of an action, okay? And remember, it's not necessary to perfect every statement in the first filing, but eventually you will. But what you do have to file, you have to make the claim supported by an affidavit. You have to name the defendants with the general description of the case. You have to claim the damages and the restitution being sought. You have to reference memorandums of law of the case. That's not so much necessary in this case because really it's a cut and dry Fifth Amendment case, okay? So you don't have to worry about memorandums.
Yeah, they gave me statutes or whatever that's how they were trying. They were taking my property away. They gave me New Mexico statutes.
Yeah, but a statute is irrelevant and repugnant to the Fifth Amendment.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that statute. In the federal courts, I don't think you're going to have a hard time in a federal court. And again, you can always call up and you can get answers. They have an office for pro se litigants, okay? You can go right onto the federal court in your district court. You can go onto their website and you can get the phone number to the court. You should be able to get the phone number to someone who will help you, a pro se's office. But if not, you call the court and they'll give you the number to the pro se's office, pro se assistant office, and so that you can ask them questions. But anyway, claim the damages and the restitution being sought. Reference, no memorandums, don't have to worry about that. State the subject matter jurisdiction of the court. These are important points. You have to get these in your papers. State the subject matter jurisdiction of the court. State the personam jurisdiction of the court. State the facts of the case, which is the general allegations, numbered one noun, one verb. Keep it very simple. Sometimes people may write a long sentence and have two or three questions inside one. No, one question, one sentence, very specific. Sometimes you might want to even make a statement of the same thing just in a different way, two or three times, two or three different ways. The point is, you're trying to get them, they have to answer these questions, okay, these points.
One by one, right, yeah.
And they're gonna lose right away because they didn't give you due process. But anyway, let me finish this because you can. Are you looking? No, you're on a phone. Okay. When you go to rewatch.
I'm looking too. We're online too. So.
Okay, yeah. Because when you do go to YouTube or to Rumble to see this, I usually put this back up right after the call tonight. I'll have it up usually, or worst case, tomorrow morning. But, you know, once you get to this point, you'll not only hear, but you'll see. So I'm going to continue reading some of the things. You've got to state the personam jurisdiction of the court, facts of the case, which is the general allegations. You've got to number them, each sentence, one noun, one verb. If there are memorandums, you reference that to support of the facts. Cause of action, properly claimed, all the elements. Right now it's a constitutional issue, so it's a Fifth Amendment denial, taking property without due process by the state. Have specific, and this is the most important part of it too, have a very specific and clear wherefore clause. Okay, you want to write down exactly what you're asking this court to give you. That's called the wherefore clause at the end. And then you want to do this in a verified action. You want to do it as an action at law. Okay, that brings you to common law. You want to do this as an action at law. Action at law is an action that proceeds according to the common law, okay? So it's called an action at law. That's what you're doing. And so you want to get all this information. Now, you want to do your action at law, this paper that you write, which you want to, you know, that, of course, you have to serve it with a summons. Let me see if I can get a picture in here quickly. I think I have something. Pleadings opening a court of record. Was that it? Let's see. Opening a court of record.
And also our state doesn't, they don't believe in common law. They don't believe in common law. So they have no common law. They've totally denigrated.
I understand, but it is the law of the land. But yeah, you're right. They all don't really apply, nobody really responds to the common law or the natural law anymore because, again, the rules, this is why we're battling the Rules Enabling Act right now, because the Rules Enabling Act in 1934, which was executed by the Supreme Court in 1938, really when they wrote the rules, they abrogated all this stuff and they put us under civil law. But nevertheless, on simple cases, this is a simple case. You're not going up against the status quo. You're going up against the state, the federal level really doesn't care too much about that end of it. So it's not a case that is a status quo case that the federal courts are going to try to throw you out of. I think that you're going to be able to get some headway in the court with this. So.
All right.
All right. Well, again. The pleadings, I'll tell you, let me see. See, this is all in the course, so this isn't available up online, this paper I'm looking at right now. You know what you want to do?
I bought a bunch of
send an email to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org and ask for a copy of the paper for the pleadings for opening a court of record. And this is a 13-page paper which lays out the process and the elements of a court case. And I'll email back this paper, maybe another paper with it, and it'll give you some guidelines on that. Okay, I'll do that tomorrow morning if you get it out tonight. Okay?
Okay, mail at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Right. M-A-I-L, nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay?
Okay, and that'll be I'll ask for the pleadings or opening of a court of record?
Yeah, and I'll remember it, and I'll send you some stuff, which is basically a layout, of what you have to put together in your papers. But you need to file this right away. And again, you'll get help from the pro se office on the federal level. Okay? I got to take another caller, but let us know. I'll send this stuff out to you, and you let me know next week maybe how you're making out.
Okay, thank you. I mean, yeah, I only have till next week anyway, so.
Yeah, you work on this thing, you know?
Yeah.
You got to shut them down. You want them to cease and desist. That's one part of your wherefore clause.
Okay.
Once you serve them, The other thing is this, okay? Make sure you use the sheriff to serve them, okay? Don't serve them yourself. Don't get someone just to write an affidavit of service or anything, because they will push the court to throw you out on improper service. You get the sheriff.
I thought if you took it into federal court, they have somebody to serve them.
No, you have to serve it on your own.
So I still have to pay the sheriff to serve them.
Yeah, you know, it shouldn't be too much. I mean, you know, I've been with $35 to serve, $55, but it shouldn't be much more than that, much more than 50, but it could be less than
that. You asked me 80 before.
$80? Wow.
Yeah. $80.
Well, you know, if you go talk with the sheriff and tell him you can't afford it, that you're coming in as a poor person, could they do it for a much lower price and see what happens? Worst case, when it comes to worst, then you're going to have to serve according to the law. You know, there's a specific requirement that you have to do to serve it. And you don't want to screw up in the serving, because they'll throw it out on that. If they have something where they can throw it out on, the judge will throw it out. I'll see if I can't find something on that and send it to you too. Okay.
Yeah, and that's where I'm frustrated right now, because, you know, I don't believe that the state can should just be able to come in and take your property, your private property.
They don't care. I'm telling you, they are evil. Okay, they are evil people. But the point is they don't think they're evil. They're working for a system that they think is right, okay, and just. But every once in a while, you know, a conversation, a situation shows up, and they see something, and they know what they're doing is wrong, and they shouldn't be doing it. But then there are some, you know, some of these judges know exactly what's going on. That's real evil, you know.
Well, if I can upload the documents that I've got together, upload it to my Google Drive, can I send that to you and you can maybe glance over some of it?
If I have time. I mean, how many pages are you talking?
I don't know. Right now,
Look, I'll send you the information, okay? And then if you want to try to send me something back, if I have time to look at it, I'll look at it, okay? And I'll get back. You know, it's important to have contact with people who are participating with us, especially members here of National Liberty Alliance, so on and so forth. And that's why we do the open forum every week, so we can have connection with the people. You know, but I'll see what we can do. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Let me go to the next caller,
right,
and we'll communicate over the course of the next day or two, and then I'd like to hear how it goes next week, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take Felicia from Florida. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Felicia down in Florida.
How you doing?
I don't have much time left. But in Florida, we have now, you know, people don't have to have a license to carry a firearm. They call it the constitutional carry.
Right.
But then according to the Constitution, it says that you have the right to bear arms if you are part of a militia.
No, it has nothing to do with that. And you are part of the militia anyway. At least in New York State's Constitution, it says every person is part of the militia. And I don't know that it states an age or anything, but we're all part of the militia. We all have an obligation to defend the borders of New York, so to speak. And every state should be the same. And but the thing is that because they put it together with the militia, it didn't have anything to do with having to be part of some kind of an organized militia.
It's in the Constitution, though. It's in the Constitution. It states that.
No, but you're reading it wrong, okay? Let me read it. Hang on a second.
Then why are they still issuing out carries, the legal carry license then? If you can just carry it without.
Well, I don't know how it works in Florida, but I always thought that I think what. You have to read their law. It could be any law, but you have to read their law. It could be for concealing it, okay, that you have to have a permit. Or maybe you can have a concealed weapon, but you can't have it, you know, out where people can see it. I don't know what the law is.
People just walking around with guns out in the open, and because of what DeSantis did, you know, with the constitutional carry, you know, police is not arresting them. So what's the point of having people pay for a concealed weapons license?
Have you went to talk to the sheriff?
You mean about my house?
Well, no, about a weapon. I mean, all you do is go down and talk to the sheriff.
No. You know, I was in a police academy at one point, so I already know. So I don't understand this constitutional carry thing.
Well, look, here's what the Constitution says. This is Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, so let me go back. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. So the right of a militia and the right to carry arms, to keep and bear arms, neither of those two things shall be infringed. Okay? It does not say
the
member of the militia in order to carry an arm. But remember this. If you go into your constitution in Florida, they may have the same thing that it states that every...
They don't.
It doesn't have in there any... trying to think how they put it. I'll just use the word person. I'll paraphrase. Any person is part of the militia in the state. Okay? I think it's able-bodied. Any able-bodied person in the state of New York is part of the militia. Okay?
Florida's different.
To defend the borders.
Florida's different. Okay.
Yeah, bear in mind, New York Constitution is law in New York, and it applies everywhere else, too. But go ahead. What's your next question?
You know, New York is the capital of America, so that's where the stock market is. But my second question is, this thing with Venezuela.
Yep.
And then I think that this has to do with the ancient artifacts and the pyramids and the gold mountains in Venezuela. But I don't understand what's going on with Greenland. I don't understand it.
With Greenland?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Greenland is something that we've been trying to get a hold of for quite some time. And you'll hear two different sides of the story. Let me go here and look here. Hang on one second. I think I have this listed. Let's see. Okay, if you click on news, okay, let's see. Right here.
Promethean.
Okay. Go to Promethean Updates. Okay, if you go to welcome page, nationallibertyalliance.org, welcome page, come down to up-to-date news. You'll be on this page, okay? Click on Promethean Updates. Click on that, and it should be good to take to YouTube. And watch some of these videos here because they'll explain this. Matter of fact, I don't see the video here, but let me see if... I don't know if they have it. This is 2 weeks ago, 4 months ago. If you sign up for this on your YouTube channel, if you sign up to subscribe to this particular channel, you'll probably get to today's news. And they just released something talking exactly about what you're talking about, and it explains the Greenland situation. And they probably explain it in a couple other places, but the latest news that they have, they explain it. But I suggest everyone should be listening to a couple of, you know, X22 report. I never miss a day of that report. That's one of the most important reports to me. And We Know is another one. Those two I always watch. SGT I don't trust too much. I might even remove this. I find Matt Morse TV is good too. He does a long one, a long news program, sometimes 2 hours. I don't have the time to sit down for that. But he does also a lot of short ones, so he covers the basic news of the day, and he's pretty thorough with it. RJ Talks also gives information on the news. Promethean updates, this is a definite, you have to have that. And then there are others that we have up here if you have time to watch some of them. I watch a lot of them from time to time here or there, but again, the three ones that I always listen to, or four actually, X-22 Report, and We Know, I listen every day. I listen to the short ones, Matt Morse and RJ Talks, and Promethean usually is short. Once a week they have a long one, but you'll get a daily report, or every couple of days, a daily update, and usually they're 15 or 20 minutes, so you can kind of get through those. So that'll give you.
Okay.
We only got a few minutes, but I'd like to take.
We got a few minutes, and I just want to read something to you, and I want you to let me know what you think about it. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
It is not necessary to understand. It is enough to adore. The God may be of clay. Adore him. He becomes God. We ignore what created us. We adore what we create. Let us create nothing but God. That which causes us to create is our own true father and mother. We create in our own image, which is theirs. Let us create, therefore, without fear, for we can create nothing that is not God. Let that marinate, and let me know what you think about it.
Well, okay, you know, it's part of the, it is true that we're not saved by knowledge. We don't have to understand. Most of the Bible people don't understand. And we're saved by grace through faith, and not through works, not through knowledge. You know, we will do the good things, the works, but that's not what gets us to salvation. Some of the other stuff, you know, you said quite a bit, and I'd have to really sit and think a little bit on some of these things. But what I would do, what I would say, though, is if you go to National Liberty Alliance's page, okay, you go to my content on that. Let me see. You should be able to reach it from here on the right hand side.
I did all the courses in L.A. already. So.
Yeah, but this is on specifically, concerning the relationship with God. God's magnificent.
Y'all seem to have the thing where y'all call in to talk about the Bible. I know it's been a while for me. I used to call in, and y'all used to have scripture talking. Y'all still do that?
Long, long time ago. If we had people that wanted to do that, and then I would do maybe an open forum once a week or something. For people to come in and ask questions concerning the Bible, and I'll do my best to answer them. We do have Bible studies, and
it was the Bible studies I used to call in on. So y'all still do that? My computer's down. You know, I'm on my phone.
We have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. right here in this room.
Okay.
If you come into this room on Wednesday at 7:30. You'll come to a Bible study. Right now we're working on the Great Tribulation, Part 2. We did Part 1 last week, Part 2 this week, Part 3 next week, and then we move to another subject. You can go onto our page, Topical Studies of the Word of God, for instance. You can click on that and get to it. And you will find studies. There is a study that might be advantageous for you, if I can find it here. It may not be on this page, though, because I just started working on a topical. But I did one on God's magnificent salvation plan. So if you go to Rumble and you put in National Liberty Alliance, you'll find us. And I'm looking to see how far down it is, the salvation plan, which will... Here it is, God's magnificent salvation plan. This was a month ago I put this up. Okay, so that might be something. But, let's talk next week, and maybe we'll set a date for people who might want to come and ask questions on the Bible. We can have an open forum or something one day in a week here or there. But
Remember right. that what I just said.
One other person, I want to take them before we close down, huh?
Okay. No problem. Remember what I just read to you, though.
Well, I can't remember it all. Send me a copy.
Rewind it.
Send me a copy at mail at National Liberty
I'll
Alliance.
I'll email it to you.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Thanks a lot. Okay, we'll take our last caller. We only got a couple of minutes because we're over time. But what's your first name and your state? Anonymous. Last caller.
Yes, hello. My name's Elizabeth.
Okay.
And,
we've spoken before, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm one of your students. I just wanted to say I listened to what you wrote, and you wrote about a lot of great things. The thing that I don't know, I think it's appropriate in this time to address, you know, I don't know, maybe a cover letter or something, but I'm not trying to tell you how to write this or produce it, but about the villainy that has grasped us from the roots, and that, you know, we're like someone walking around with a gun to our head in terms of a judicial system, and that it really needs to be addressed immediately. And I heard there's one report I listened to with half an ear and half an eye because I've been watching it off and on for the last 8 years, and they're coming out much bolder now and saying that these things are actually been implemented. But, you know, as we know, until we have a period of time when they can shut down all communications, they're not going to be able to address
these
problems.
What's been implemented? If you can, well, I'm getting a lot of, like, it sounds like wind or something, or you're moving the mic around too much.
Oh, okay.
But
what's been implemented are things like the Constitution, the original Constitution, and our judicial system. And I know from listening to you and looking at this for a while that we're not just going to walk into a finely polished courtroom and have everything laid at our feet. We're going to have to go in there. And, you know, history tells us all over and over again that the Jesuits, somebody's going to be in there waiting for us.
Will you back off your mic a little bit because you seem to be overmodulating? But just back off an inch or two from your mic, but continue.
No, just a second. Let me.
Usually you come in very clear. So,
is this better?
Let's try it.
Okay. But there's a report that comes out during the week, and it's called We the People News. And I've listened to it with half an ear and half an eye over the last 8 years because they've been pushing it off and off and off, you know, because it's an event-driven thing that we're doing. But they have started speaking that we have, you know, Trump actually did put the Constitution back in, and our judicial system is waiting to be formed. But there's going to be those who are not going to want to go this way. It also said that the judges and the lawyers are going to be taught common law. Well, you know, I don't believe that's as easy as it's going to sound. You know, it's going to be.
We've been battling for that since we started. I mean, this has been
right.
a major focus.
Right. Yeah. So, right. If I may just finish, and then I'll let you talk. I don't want to lose my train of thought. But it's just that there are going to be lawyers who are very deeply embedded in their lives and their lifestyles and everything, and they're going to try and figure out a way to fool us. And, you know, they're going to use things to make it sound like it's like this and it's not. And I really believe that it would be, maybe it will happen parallel, where there'll be real common law courts, and then these ones that claim to be common law courts, and the ones that are not common law courts, the people are going to believe it. I mean, look, the stuff that's going on in the state that's so out of line with these people, Americans, who are gone, you know, they've been taught that, like you were saying in the beginning, if, you know, it's true, you know, we can be like robots. And, you know, if we hear something enough times, we'll believe it. I mean, I won't, but because I've been protecting my critical thinking all my life. And I've paid for it, you know, but I'm just saying, though, that, you know, maybe there's some way that you know, I think that, you know, National Liberty Alliance, with 15 years of teaching this, you know, bedrock of what common law is, you know, ought to be allowed to have a way in to this. And because you're going to bring a bunch of students with you and also people who will become lawyers. And, you know, and then the other thing I wanted to say is that if you want maybe there's some students you would want to write mandamuses that you could attach to that with their account and what they're going through. That might give it, you know, some personal examples. Anyway, that's all I have, but thank you for listening.
All right. Well, I went to the page, We the People News. You know, now, who is this that's talking there? I mean...
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you. There's a woman named Judy Byington, and she's an abuse survivor, and she has contacts with somebody and probably several people, and she puts out this stuff, and a lot of it is repeating. And like tonight, she's not reading it. It's a woman named Mary, and Mary's been doing this ever since the beginning, and it's developed. You know how I'm sure you've seen people in these internet shows. They grow. You know, they develop, and but this stuff gets woven in with all the stuff that's going on. And they quote, like, people off of X or Telegram, you know, like, and some of them, you know, there's one that claims to be JFK Jr., you know. So some of this stuff, if you don't understand devolution, which I know you do, you know, it might seem really confusing. And but there's the information there. I mean, I was watching this last year, when I started realizing we didn't have a judicial system, and they were talking about how the judicial system is being dismantled. And I felt so much joy, because otherwise I have no hope here in my situation. And
well,
you know, nobody does.
I'm in the courts, been in the courts quite a bit, and I'm not aware of what you're saying, that it's being dismantled. I've never heard that from anyone.
Oh, the judicial system? Oh, yeah, it's being dismantled. There've been judges. I saw a picture the other day. They're arresting judges left and right. They're arresting Congress people. There were 60 Congress people who were involved in Maduro.
I know there is a lot of activity being prepared for a lot of arrests. Let's hope there's a lot of judges in that. And I've heard of some judges arrested from time to time over the years.
Yeah.
But it's far and in between. But I have not heard of anything recent where there are major changes and the judges are being arrested or anything of that nature.
It's that way by design. Yeah.
I do believe a lot of them are going to be arrested. I do believe a lot of congressmen are going to be arrested. A lot of senators are going to be arrested. When that's going to happen, I don't know. But it's got to happen, because they're looking at the money trails, and money trails goes right to all of these people. And there's a lot more involved than that, and it's subversion.
Yeah.
It's collusion. It's a conspiracy to destroy, the United States, to change us into something we're not. That's exactly what took place with the Rules Enabling Act. That was subversion. A conspiracy to destroy our judicial system, which destroyed the United States of America.
Right.
Because if you don't have a just system that obeys the right law, the laws of nature's God, then we don't have a nation at all, ultimately, that we can rest and rely on to protect our rights.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know how ready we will be, but last year, 2 years ago.
I'm not getting you. Fell away. I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't. Can you hear me now?
You're very, very low. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you dropped very low. I can barely hear you. Try it again. We only got a minute or two, because it's 10 after right now.
I'm just, you know, can you hear me at all?
I don't know what happened, but I can barely hear you. You have to get closer to your mic or speak louder.
Okay, yeah. Is this better?
I got it.
Yep.
Right, got it now.
Okay. Well, 2 years ago, when Trump was brought into trial, that whole trial was a kangaroo thing, and most of them have been arrested. Alvin Bragg was arrested. The two judges were arrested. The jury was arrested.
I haven't heard it. I don't know if anybody else has heard any of this, but I have not heard any of this.
There's accounts on Real Raw News, and you can read it for yourself and decide if you believe it or not. But there's
What's the name? Where is this at?
It's called realrawnews.com.
Oh, I think I've heard of this before.
It doesn't seem real impressive, and it shouldn't, you know. But they put stuff up. It's hit and miss. But that's where I found out about the four judges in Colorado who tried to take Trump off of the ballot. They're already gone, and they arrested each one of them.
I think this is the place. I've read, and some people have. This was a couple of years back, and I'm not sure whether this is a website, but it was just not true. So
okay.
I don't know. Maybe what they're saying is true. Maybe not.
You have to read it for yourself, and then you'll know if you believe it.
Listen, the places where I get my news from, okay, again, if you go to National Liberty Alliance underneath Welcome.
I heard them all. Yeah, X22, and as we know.
Right. What I'm trying to say is this. If those things were true, these people would have picked up on this, okay? I just can't believe that something like this got past these people. So
who are these people?
Dave from X22 Report, and we know Matt Morse, RJ Talks, even Stephen Gardner. He's got a very close connection to Benny Show, Crossroads. These people, someone would have picked up on this. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think that I'm not saying that I know more than anybody, but there are a lot of people who know about this this particular website, and some people know and some don't. And the thing is, I've talked to my friends about it, and they go, "Oh yeah, okay." And I say, just go read it and see the detail. It's not a narrative. They give details of the executions. They give details of the tribunals. They give details of the arrests. And it's just what it is. I mean. We kind of have to find out about it and then check it out, and see if...
Here's the thing. If something this big was happening, more than one place would be talking about it. Okay? I find it hard to believe that only one place is talking about some serious stuff that we'd like to see, and yet nobody else is picking up on it. So I don't know. I'd be very careful in this. I'll try to look.
I have a news background.
Yeah, but a few years ago, there was a lot of talk going, and it led to this website. I could be wrong, but it rings a bell when I hear this. What you the Real Raw News? This rings a bell. But the thing is, they were talking about, and this is going back a couple of years now. This is going back when Biden was president and he had lost the election. Okay. And they said that the armed forces was moving and they were fighting underground and there was all kinds of stuff going on. And it turned out to be untrue. Everything about it was just not true.
Oh, you mean the tunnels? The deep underground military bases?
Well, there's underground cities and there's, underground highways connecting these cities.
Yeah, they've got. They show in other places. They show pictures of the rail. You know, it's just we find out stuff. I mean, then you've got people who sound like they're, they end up talking about UFOs and stuff, and it kind of discredits it because
I mean, not that there isn't unidentified flying objects. A UFO is something that's just not identified. We don't know what it is, okay?
Right.
There's
something
that are strange.
They're fallen angels. They're fallen angels. That's what they are.
Well, that's one possibility, but I don't believe that because fallen angels are spirits. They're already here. They're all around.
They can take any form they want. They're supernatural.
Well, they might, of course, they work inside people. You know, you get some people that are really evil. Well, Satan's inside those people, and his devils.
But not in the last days. You know, the days of Noah.
Yeah, but the thing is that there are things going on that I don't know what exactly it is. But there are some things happening, and to have a conclusion on what it is, I have none. I mean,
no,
possibilities, I got a lot of possibilities on what this might be and that might be and the other thing, but it's the imagination of my own mind because I don't know the answers. But I'll tell you right now, there was no all-out war. That was not happening. And if it was real raw news that put that out, then that's
cut out. You said what? It cut out. I'm sorry. What did you say? There's no what?
There was no...
No underground war?
Yeah, fighting going on. I mean, they were talking about explosions and people dying and all kinds of things, and nobody else was talking about
it. If you have an earthquake that's 10 kilometers deep, earthquakes usually go about 3 or 4 miles down at least before they're an earthquake. So you know that's a deep underground military war, like at China Lake.
Right. Here's what I'm saying. Okay. Real world news, I don't know if it's real. That's the point. What I do find is this, okay? Truth is self-evident. You just need to listen for a while, and when you see the consistency, and especially if you have different sources, and you're finding consistency without any BS, especially with numerous sources, now you know you have the truth, okay? But this here is bringing up news that no other source that I listen to has been bringing that up, so I'd be very leery of something like that. Okay. And if they were the ones that talked about all this underground fighting going on some years back, when Q was talking, matter of fact, this would go back during the first Trump administration, before Biden, that they claimed was taking place. But it wasn't happening. It was BS. Okay? And they were the only ones talking about it. Now, I don't know whether it was them or not, but it rings a bell that it might have been.
They use names. It's, you know, it's the judge aggregate generals.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, people can make up all kinds of things. I mean, I don't even... Sometimes I watch documentaries or something... It just, I don't know if it's real or not because of AI.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, yeah, it's fine. I'm just telling you what I found. That's all.
Yeah. So I'm going to look into it. I got it right here, Real Raw News. I'm looking at it right now.
Now, I'll tell you something. Their search engine doesn't work that well. So if you want to find out, I type in Real Raw News in the search engine and I put like execution of, put it in there. And they don't have them all. But they have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. We got to close down. It's really getting very late.
Right.
We could talk some more next week. So, but I'll look into this a little bit, see once what I can find.
Yeah. I just thought I'd mention it. But there's a lot of villainy, and I don't know if we're going to be able to just, you know, we're going to be up for a fight. And we got to understand the war, you know, and who the enemy is. And, you
it's
know.
It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. No. Q is very clear on what's going to happen and it suggests a short period of time. It's going to be quick. And when violence breaks into the streets, which probably will happen, okay, it's already happening out there in Minnesota and it's going to happen in other states, that's when you just have to really be careful. But stay off the streets, so to speak, if you're in cities. That's where the problems will be in the big cities, you know, and usually the blue states. That's where it's going to be.
Yeah. The sanctuary cities.
Yeah. All right. Got to go.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Bye. Good night. All right. We've come to the end of our program. Good night, everybody. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.